Good evening. Good evening. Good to see everyone here at North Gainesville Baptist Church. Hope you are well. Let's take our hymn books this evening and tell them number 472. Hymn number 472. Let's sing the first and the last of Wonderful Words of Life. Hymn number 472, Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Teach me faith and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Verse 3.
Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. So glad we have those words with us tonight in the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for the wonderful words of life that are contained in your Word. Help us, Lord, to daily meditate therein. Help us to spend time, Lord, to knowing you. And by knowing you, we see you through creation. We see you, Lord, in circumstances. We see you in opportunities we have, Lord, but we primarily see you in these latter days through your Word. So we thank you for it, and I pray, God, that we would rightly divide it, we who are teachers and preachers of it. We'll be able, God, through your strength and through your Spirit, be able to proclaim it, to preach it, to publish it. Oh, we're in a world where there is a void of your teaching. There's a voidness of your law and your goodness and your grace. So, Lord, if any time in the history of the world, we need your Word. Now bless it tonight as we proclaim it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good to have you here tonight. Hope you are doing well. Mind us just a couple things. Don't forget, we will have a brief business meeting after the service tonight. Probably less than 10 minutes. Just want to clarify some things and update you with a few things tonight. But a brief business meeting for members, of course. Don't forget, men, we do have our breakfast tomorrow morning at the 43rd Street Deli. Meet at 9 a.m. pretty much every Monday. So we'll be meeting there tomorrow, 43rd Street Deli, for breakfast, 9 a.m. Our annual spring cleaning, the 27th, as we have some opportunities to clean things inside the church and outside the church. There's a list already posted up front. You can look at it, see some things you might need to do. If you want to come early, I'm going to be here about 8 o'clock because it's starting to get a little warm here in Florida, so I'm going to be there by 8. If you want to come a little later, that's up to you, but we'll go to about noon or so. But anybody come out and help, and if you say, what can I do? Well, if things you do at the home, some pretty much things you can do here. So I encourage you to do that. Update coming up on our financial update coming up on April 28th after the evening service. May 4th, we'll have the Phoebe Mother's Daughter Luncheon. Miss Norma, We'll be speaking at that. So grateful that she'll be with us that day and speaking, and looking forward for you ladies for that. Graham Young will be coming and presenting what God has been doing in his life and ministry there in Africa. I think he is coming by himself that evening, May the 5th. Of course, churchwide visitation coming up as we try to go out May the 11th, Sunday the 26th, the end of the month, West Coast Baptist College, Dr. Rasmussen, he was here, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, he was here and preached, I believe it was a Sunday evening, and had a group of college-age students with him. He'll be coming back to preach for us that Sunday morning and have some singers with him. And again, I want to encourage you with Faith Promise, if you haven't contributed to it, we are definitely encouraging. I think we're down to about $550 per month that we're needing to support the current missionaries that we have. And so that is something we're praying for and praying about, and we encourage everybody to participate in it. And as I mentioned this morning, I think it's important that we support missionaries through the local church. As I was thinking about that, you think about Paul and Silas or Barnabas, they didn't go out on their own. They had the approval of the local church. And I think it's a wise thing to do because of accountability, that we support people, missionaries, through the local church, because that gives them a amount of accountability. And all of us need accountability. It's a very good thing. All right, let's sing our second song this evening. Turn, if you would, to hymn number 222. 222, if you would. One of my favorite songs, He Leadeth Me. 220, He Leadeth Me. Let's sing the first, the third, and the last this evening. Let's stand and sing hymn number 220, first, third, and last. He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, God's still hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Verse 3, Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I say, it is by God He leadeth me. His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And the last, and when my task on earth is done, and Thy victory won, and death go with, I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. My faithful follower I would be, for by His hand leadeth me. Let's fellowship with one another. Find a seat if you can. Find a seat. We were talking about cheese, grits, and shrimp. Woo, I was getting hungry. It's like, boy, we better get back to singing. We're going to be in trouble here before long. We might have some leftovers in that fellowship hall. About where I think they're all gone now, though. Woo. Let's sing another song before anything else happens. Hymn number 507 tonight, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's stand up and sing the first and last stanzas of hymn number 507, Come Thou Fount. Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Verse 3. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen. Brother Ruel, would you pray for our tithes and offering? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Miss Robin. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, turn to Joshua chapter 10 tonight. Joshua chapter 10, as we're going verse by verse, hopefully chapter by chapter through the book of Joshua. Hope it's been a blessing to you, an encouragement to you. But Joshua chapter 10, as we look at God's word, last week we looked at these wily, scheming group of people called the Gibeonites. Remember the Gibeonites? Who came to them looking like they were hopeless, hapless, and helpless. Didn't have anything. Really, seemed like they were just poor folks who needed a whole lot of help and, said that they didn't have much and wanted Joshua and the children of Israel to help them. And, of course, Joshua and the children of Israel didn't do what they should have done. It's kind of typical of what happens to us in life when people come to us and we don't think a whole lot about it. We just kind of make a decision just make a hasty decision. And they did the same thing. Didn't pray about it, as we talked about last week. They didn't seek God's counsel. Just went ahead and did it. And unfortunately, they were not very far away. And they weren't as bad off as they portrayed themselves to be. They just wanted protection because, of course, the children of Israel had already destroyed Jericho. They destroyed Ai. And now they wanted help themselves. And they made a covenant. Israel made a covenant with them, and they didn't renege on their covenant. They decided to keep it. We talked about the importance of making decisions, and talked about the importance of prayerlessness last time, of overconfidence, having overconfidence. We talked about that we make a decision, make a promise to somebody, that you have to keep, you keep your end of the deal, even if it maybe is not the best of situations. That he that sweareth to it, the Bible talks about the person who sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That's the type of person whose integrity. About that we as Christians need to be people of our word. We need to be honest. We live in a world that is crooked. We live in a world that you just about can't believe anything that anybody says to you. Even when it comes with the around Christianity. Oh, dear friends, I hope you know that just because they say they believe the Bible and they believe in Jesus, is actually true. I wish it was true. I wish that everybody you saw, especially who say they're Christians, were actually honest and upright and forthright, and they always did things ethically. But it's not always true. As I've been in, thankfully, in the ministry for many years, I've seen folks, even in the ministry, be deceitful. I've known missionaries that have been off the field for 6 months, and their supporting churches didn't even know it. And they were still supporting them, and they were back on the field. And they didn't report back to their church that they were home. The churches were paying for them while they were back in the United States of America. And if I told you who they were, you would know them. You would know them. Oh, dear friends, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Because unfortunately, people do not have character today. There is a lack of a character. There's a lack of integrity. And even God's people today, when we worship the almighty dollar instead of the almighty God. 1924, Liberty Bank performed a rather interesting survey. They selected at random 100 people and sent a letter to them. Enclosed in that letter was a $1 bill. The letter explained the result of adjusting an error these people had made. They were owed $1. Guess how many people returned that $1? 27 people did, saying that Liberty had made a mistake, and they had not. In 1971, Liberty repeated the survey. This time, only 13 people took the dollar back. Now, how many people think you'd take that dollar back in 2024? Actually, they probably would think they owed them a dollar and probably a whole lot more. You, when someone counts change to you because they don't teach math the way they used to teach math, when someone gives you change and they don't have correct change, do you take that incorrect change or do you give it back to them? Man, it got quiet in here. The altar will be open after the church service tonight. If somebody sends you some money and it's incorrect, do you just take it as a mistake in God's blessing, or do you go back and give that money back to them? What do you do? Well, it's character. Webster defines character as moral uprightness, freedom from corruption, and honesty. A man by the name of Ted Engstrom defines this sister word, integrity, is doing what you said you would do. Oh, that Christians would simply do what we say we would do. That's character. What does it mean to have character? Well, when you choose to have character, there's some things that are going to happen to you. First of all, when you choose to do what's right and have character, it's not always going to be the easy path. Some people think just because you're saved, just because you're Christian, just because you do what's right, it's always going to be an easy path. No, you're going to have resistance. The world, the flesh, and the devil is not going to let you just do everything just the way you think you should do it, and everything is going to be just fine and dandy. Just because you read your Bible and pray, everything is not going to be just A-okay every day. Look at the first six verses. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. It came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, and heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, as had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city. It's one of the royal cities because it was greater than Ai and all the men thereof mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto him Horam, king of Hebron, and Piram, king of Jermuth, and to Japheth, king of Lachish, unto Deborah, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, for we may smite Gibeon, for I have made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings, the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jeremoth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together, went up, they and all the hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. What happens when you choose to have character? What happens when you choose to do right? What happens when you say, I'm going to be a man or a woman of integrity? Well, when you do that, the path that you take is not going to be easy. Was it easy for Abel to offer the right offering when he had pressure by his own brother to do right? No. He still did right. Even it took his life, but he chose to do right. When Joseph was honored by his fathers, and he and his older brothers looked at him, and they were jealous of him. They were jealous of his coat of many colors. They were jealous of his character. They was jealous of his integrity. They was jealous that he was loved above his other brothers, because the other brothers were just weak, scoundrelly, cowardly men. They sent, Jacob sent who? Joseph, to go check out his brothers. They found him not doing well. What did they do to him? They didn't welcome him with open arms. They threw him in a pit, and ultimately he sold him to go down to Egypt. What did Joseph do? Joseph honored his fathers and his brothers, even though they hated him. Think about David. David, that young ruddy man who was out there with the bears and the taking care of the sheep and the lion, and had smote those animals, protecting those animals. And here's about the Philistine army gathering in that valley of Elah. And actually, I've been in that valley of Elah. And our host tried to throw, had a sling, and he was throwing it around, and I hit the deck, because I didn't want one of those stones to hit me in the head, knock me out. I said, buddy, go ahead and sling it. I'm going this way. I was in that valley of Elah, saw where he was at. I can imagine looking on one side, and the Israel was on one side, and the Philistines were on the other side, and that 9-foot giant being out there. And here comes that teenage boy who said to his brothers, is there not a cause? And he took 5 smooth stones, not just for Goliath, but for the other kin that might come out to defeat him. Yes, David chose to fight God's enemies, and though his brothers thought he had a wrong motive. Jesus, who started his ministry, talked about the first sermon that he preached, the Sermon on the Mount. His own family, his own half-brothers, sisters, did not believe in him until after the resurrection. When Paul ministered the church at Corinth, they questioned his apostleship. Read 1 and 2 Corinthians and how many times he had to defend himself. This man who was greatly used of God. Yet even him, he had to defend who he was. Oh, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, in times in life, when you try to do wrong, there's going to be opposition to do wrong. It's not going to be the easy thing. But remember, you and God make up a majority. Choose to do the right thing, though other people don't do the right thing. If people in your own family don't do the right thing, you choose to do the right thing. My relationship with God is not based on what the other people in my immediate or even my extended family do. I individually, as a person, have to daily choose to do right. If other people choose not to do right, that's their decision. They're accountable unto God to make that decision. I see sometimes family members make own bad decisions because their own family members make bad decisions. But dear friend, you have to realize that one of these days, you're going to stand before God personally, not with your family, not with a preacher, not with church, but you and I personally are going to stand before God and give an account, an accounting, a reckoning of our lives spiritually, not based on our sin, but what we did or did not do for God. We'll receive rewards, or we will not receive rewards, crowns, based on our character. Do you, when you say you're going to do something, do you make sure you do it? You might want to write down what you actually say you're going to do. Because the older you get, the more you're going to forget what you actually said you're going to do. Hey, it's amen or oh me. I'm looking at a whole lot of folks that say, oh me, and I'm with them. Hey, man, you might forget. So think about what you're saying. And if you forget, have the integrity and the humility to go back to the person and say, brother, sister, I didn't do it. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Go back to the person that you promised you would do something for on such and such a date and such and such a time and ask him to forgive you. We all fail, dear friend. We all forget things. We all make mistakes. But it's having the integrity to go back and make it right. And when you do people wrong, go and make it right with them. Oh, I'm so thankful that Joshua and the children of Israel did that which was right. But because they did what was right, the enemies of God, these five kings, said, oh, man, look what's going on here. Joshua, children of Israel, done made a league here with the Gibeonites. We're going to have to defeat them. Expect when you do right, the opposition is going to come in your life. Expect it. But secondly, not only doing right will usually not be an easy path to take, but secondly, doing right gives God miracle space that reveals his character. Doing right will not always be an easy path to take, but secondly, doing right gives God miracle space that reveals his character. See, when you do right, then God can stand with you. When you choose to do right, when you obey his word, see, obedience brings blessing on your life. I'll say it again. Obedience brings blessing on your life. Disobedience brings conflict and grievance and sadness in life. Think about Joseph, who did right. What was his reward for doing right? He did what his father told him to do, got thrown in a pit. He did what he was told to do. He lived obedient in Potiphar's house. And though he was maligned and said that he did something he didn't actually do with Potiphar's wife, he kept his character, though he lost his coat of many colors. He was thrown in the pit. But in the midst of all of it, he didn't get bitter at his brothers. He didn't get bitter at Potiphar. And even though he told that butler and baker about the interpretation of the dreams and they forgot about him, he didn't get bitter at the butler and the baker. Well, one of them lost their head over it. And then ultimately he went to the Pharaoh and God blessed him because of his obedience. Was made him the second most powerful person in all the land, called him Zaphnath-Paneah, gave him a wife, and God used him in a great way to save his own people. But what if he'd got bitter? Or what if he'd said, well, I'm going to get them dirty, rotten brothers back one day. Vengeance is mine, saith Joseph. And those brothers stood before him one day, and he could have said, off with their heads. He had the power and authority to destroy all of them, to smash them to powder. But instead of destroying them, he provided for them. Oh, dear friend, that's grace. That's grace. That's grace. David did right. God used a stone to defeat a giant in a nation. When Paul did right, he gave the biblical epistles of 1 and 2 Corinthians for our edification. Because we'll know there's times in our life when we'll go through struggles and trials and tribulations. So God, the Holy Spirit, used Paul to write these words for our own edification. And when Jesus obeyed his Father and denied his own humanity, he opened the door to salvation so that all could believe. Oh, dear friend, look what happens here in verse 7. The Bible says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor, and the Lord said unto them, Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Acath and to Megiddish. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, they were in the going down to Beth-horon, and the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azek, and they died and were no more died, but hailstones whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And spake to Joshua, the Lord, in the day which the Lord delivered up the Amorites and the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down a whole day. And there was no day like that before it, nor after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for God fought for Israel. Did it say that Israel fought for Israel? That Joshua fought for Israel? No, dear friend. The Lord fought for Israel. And when you choose to have integrity, when you choose to do right, when you choose to do right when other people tell you to do wrong, God is going to fight your battles for you. He will go before you and bless you and help you. You and I, and all that we have, can only do so much. If not for the blessing and guidance and direction of God in our life, we will fail. That's why it's so important, dear friend, that when we choose to do right, it gives God the opportunity to do miracles in our life. And that's a wondrous thing, to see God do it. Because when He does it, we recognize that it's not in of ourselves. It's not in our skill set. It's not in our talent. It's not in our education. It's not in our family ability. It's not in our might. It's not in our finances. God does above and beyond what we can even ask or think. Do we believe the God of the day is the same God of Joshua? Isn't He the same yesterday, today, and forever? Can He not do mighty works in our life today? Or is that just for Joshua? Is that just for David? Was that just for Joseph? Was that just for Paul? Was that just in Jesus' day? Was that just the Apostles' day? Can He not work in our lives today? Amen, He can. He can. But a lot of times we don't, because we try to do God's work in our own flesh. And thus, we don't see God work. But dear friend, allow God to work in your life. He wants to work. He wants to bless His people if we'll allow Him. Doing right will not always be an easy path to take. Doing right gives God miracle space that reveals His character. And thirdly, doing right produces opportunities to follow God's will. Look at verse 29. Look at verse 29 tonight. The Bible said, then Joshua passed from Makdia, and all of Israel with him, unto Libna, and fought against Libna. And the Lord delivered also, and the king thereof, to the hand of Israel, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that are therein, he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libna, and all Israel with him, and Lachish, and camped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish in the hand of Israel, which took it the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls were therein, according to he had done to Libna. Then Horam, the king of Gezer, came to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people, until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish, Joshua passed into Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it, and fought against it. And they took it on the day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done at Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and Israel with him, and Hebron, and fought against it. And they took it, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls therein, and left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls therein. And Joshua returned with all Israel with him to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, to the king thereof, so he had done unto Laban and to her king. Verse 40. And Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and all the south, and all the vale, and all the springs, and all the kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed. And the Lord God of Israel commanded, and Joshua smote them to Kadesh Barnea, even Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon, all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time because Joshua was talented, because Joshua was mighty, because Joshua was gifted, because Joshua was educated, because Joshua had the finances. No, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, all Israel with him, unto the camp in Gilgal. Think about people in the past who've done mighty things for God when they didn't have the ability to do things for God. Oh, I think about Moses, born there in Egypt. Parents left him in the Nile River, trusting God and his providence to save their son. And just so happened, accidentally, the Pharaoh's daughter happened to pick him up. It was all accident, you know. Just happened that way. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. No, it wasn't by accident. It was by providence of God. And there he was raised in Egypt, had the greatest education in the entire world. And there God used him in a great way. He saw God after he was told that he had to leave that place and wander in the wilderness. He saw God in the bush. Then after 40 years in the bush, he went back to Israel and he saw God in the plagues. Then after the plagues, he saw God in the Red Sea. And the world saw God. And even in this day, Joshua's day, they knew of what God had done through the children of Israel. And even today, the unsaved folks, when you talk to them about the Bible, what are one of the first things they talk about? They talk about Moses. This thing that was done thousands of years ago. He chose, instead of taking the riches of Egypt, he chose to love God and please God. Thought I talked about Daniel this morning. And hey, he was made a eunuch. He would never have children. He would never have a family. He left that land of Jerusalem violently captured, just a young teenage boy. But yet God used him in a great way. He would not eat of the king's meat. But he said no to it because he didn't want to profane himself. He had an excellent spirit if you read about him in Daniel. And ultimately, he was used to give advice to men like Nebuchadnezzar and other godly men. Darius was used in a great way. And ultimately, as we well know, he was thrown into the lion's den because he prayed three times a day. I wonder if someone come to us and say, no, you know, if you pray three times a day, we're going to take your life. What will we do? Well, a lot of times what people wouldn't worry about is praying three times a day because we don't pray three times a day. We maybe pray over the meal and then a half a prayer over before we fall asleep and we slobber on ourselves. I don't think folks would get a whole lot of evidence on us praying as worried about throwing us in the pit. But even they were getting ready to throw him in the pit, he kept on doing what was right, even though he knew he would have consequences. And they threw him in the pit, but God saved him. Think about John. The beloved, probably the last apostle during his day. Every other disciple apostle had been taken. His life had been destroyed, killed for the faith in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, because John was faithful to God, he was allowed to go to that Isle of Patmos, that island, and see wondrous things in the book of Revelation. You see, as you obey God and do what's right for God, he will give you further opportunities to do right. It's that first step. That first step, as I've said in the past, of salvation. Every man and every woman, God calls that person to salvation in Christ. But then it's baptism. Then it's joining the church. It's God's will that every person who knows Jesus Christ, who can be a part of a local, independent, Bible-preaching church. And there's one available. And then after they are part of a church, they begin to serve the Lord. But see, friend, you can't serve the Lord in church. You can't get to that point before you first be saved. You can't get to the point of serving the Lord until you've been baptized. You can't get to the point of truly serving the Lord until you've been a part of a church. Then you can serve the Lord. It's part of justification in the past, what God has done for you in the past, sanctification, how he works in your life, and ultimately glorification. You will see him in the heavens, the rapture of the church. But it's a process. It's God working in your life continually. And it begins with a dying to self, as we talked about this morning. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, and they see themselves as spiritually bankrupt, and they cannot save themselves. No, I believe God gives us a free will to choose Him or not to choose Him. I do believe that. But hopefully we recognize that we need to be saved, and we call on Christ to save us. Then after that, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin to know Him and to understand Him. And then through that process, recognize, even though we gain knowledge, that really it's by being broken and humble that we seek God. We seek His face. We love Him more. We recognize what He's done for us, and we grow in that relationship. And there's ups and downs. There's going to be times where you're going to fall down. Every child who's born, and they begin to grow, they begin to walk, they're going to fall down sometimes. That's part of the growing process. And dear friend, that's part of the Christian process as well. There's not a Christian in this room that's not falling down sometimes. Made bad decisions, sinned when they shouldn't have sinned, done things they shouldn't have done. Oh, dear friend, that's a process of growth. But ultimately, you must be broken before God. To the degree that you and I are broken before God is to the degree that we will be blessed of God. It's to the degree we'll be used of God. But we must stay broken and humble before God. Oh, dear friends, we have to choose to make that decision on a regular basis. It's a daily thing. I believe salvation is by grace. I also believe service is by grace, that you have to ask God to help you to serve Him every day of your life. There's going to be times you're going to get discouraged. There's going to be times you get frustrated. There's going to be times you're going to fall down and want to give up. Then you call on God to help you in those times of trouble, and He's near you, and He helps you. Oh, how God used Joshua and Miley to defeat the people of the land. But Joshua always had to remember, it wasn't Joshua doing it. It was God doing it. Do you recognize, dear friend, in your life that everything that you do in life is basically because God has blessed you and allowed you to do it? That He's given you the talent, the ability, the gifts that you have is not of yourself. It's of God. That's what keeps us humble in life. And as we keep ourselves humble in life, God wants to use us. Oh, I love what Daniel writes in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. There's something about beginning to be obedient to God that leads to more obedience. As you step or walk by faith in the Christian life, God gives you the grace and mercy to continue being obedient in that grace and that mercy that He gives you. But when we start disobeying God and thinking, I can do it, and I have the power, I have the ability, I have the skill, I have the intellect, that's when we fall on our face and recognize that we just can't do it. Oh, how so many times in life we recognize how we need God in our life. Oh, I was thinking just today, this morning, about a friend of mine who I'd known for many years. He struggled in the Christian life, had problems and difficulties and struggles, just trials and tribulations. Didn't want to give the things up to God, and God had break him in certain ways in his life, to the place we had to. He had to confess his own sin, confess his own struggles, humble himself and get right. And God in His mercy took his humility and his brokenness in his life and used him in a mighty way. And He's using him in a great way right now. But dear friend, if he had never gotten broken before God, he never would have been blessed by God. God takes the humility. God takes the humbleness that we have in our life before God, recognizing that we can't and He can, and He uses that for a greater purpose in life. How does God want to use you in your own life personally? How does He want to bless you in your life? Do you find the path that you have before you is not easy to take? Do you find resistance in your family? You have resisted among your friends? You find resistance among your co-workers to do what's right? Oh, it's not always going to be the easy path to take. But dear friend, choose to do right, even if the stars fall. Make a decision. Put a stake down your life. You're not going to compromise. You're not going to cut corners. If you say you're going to do it, you're going to do it by the grace of God. And if you fail to do it, you go back to those you fail and you get it right. Choose to have integrity. Be different from the world, because the world is full of liars. Over this last week, last week, and all the hospital things we're going through, we called about some insurance. You know, it's a good thing every once in a while to call about your health insurance, your life insurance, you know, because things always change. Good thing that since we're going to the hospital, I called somebody about health insurance, and this old soul that I called, talked to him about it, and had our CAT scan and everything, and I called the guy and talked to him, and I said, now, God forbid, my wife gets a report back from the CAT scan that she has cancer. You guys will fully cover it, right? And he said, oh, yeah. Anything that will happen to you, we'll cover it. I said, even the next week, you'll cover it? Sure. Then I got to looking at their policy. Accidents and injuries we will cover, but sickness we will not. It's a 30-day waiting period. What was he? A snake who wanted my money. Oh, you got to be careful who you talk to, friend. But dear friends, we as Christians ought to be upright and honest by everything. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Doing right, it's not always going to be the easy path to take. Doing right gives miracle space that reveals your character. And number three, doing right produces other opportunities to follow God's will. When you choose to do right and follow God's will, people will know that you're a person of character. People will trust you. Your neighbors and friends will know you're going to be normally at church on Sunday. People are going to see you out there taking care of your house, take care of your lawn. People are going to look at you and see what type of person you are and how you treat people, how you treat your family. They're going to see what type of people you are, that you're the people who have integrity and love other people and you care about other people. People are going to see it, and it's going to make them thirsty to want to be like you, but it's nearly not you. It's really Christ in you. What do people see when they see you in your neighborhood? What do people see when they see you at your work? What do people see you when you come to family reunion? Not the old person they used to see, but the new person who's made a decision to follow Christ. What type of person are you going to be? Are you going to be like a Gibeonite? Slick, sneaky, going always around the bushes, trying to make it your way, mischievous, let nobody know, keeping things in the dark. Oh, I had a friend in my former church. He would always say the statement, keep it in the light. What was he saying? He says, be above, beyond, be above reproach. When I see Christians cutting the corners, not knowing what they're doing, just being sneaky and sly, man, I wonder if they're doing that stuff in public, what are they doing at home? What type of people are they? Oh, dear friend, we ought to be honest. We ought to be transparent. We ought to be, if somebody comes to us and have a question, be just as honest and transparent as we can be. People of character. Politician? Oh, probably not. Car salesman? Probably not. Lawyer? Probably not. Christian? Always. If you name the name of Christ, dear friend, represent him well. Represent him well. Be a person, a man, or a woman of character. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your grace. Oh, God, we see how you blessed Joshua. Even though he was, and the children of Israel were tricked, many a person would have reneged on their decision, but instead of that, he kept his character and he defended the Gibeonites. And he took the land. You blessed him because of his obedience. You blessed him because of his character. Oh God, we seek your blessing. We seek it because without your blessing, God, we cannot survive. We cannot live in this land of darkness, this land of wickedness, this land of treachery, where people on every side seem only to care about themselves, to only to care about money and things and stuff. Oh, we're living in a world of darkness, but God, help us to be like a Daniel in Babylon. Help us to be like a Joseph in Egypt. Lord, help us to be like a Moses, Daniel in Babylon, a Moses in Egypt. Oh, God, help us to be bright like stars in a wicked city that's getting even wickeder by the day. Oh, God, help us to stand as men and women of character to do right. That when we say stuff, we mean it and we'll do it. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be different. May we not be dumb. May we continually be different. Pilgrims and strangers in this foreign land. Oh, Lord, I pray that everyone in this room knows Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Friend, maybe you might be here this evening and you don't have a relationship with God. You're religious. You believe in God, but the Bible says the devil believes in God. The demons believe in God and tremble. Believing in God in of itself won't save you. It's recognizing the fact that you can't save yourself. Repenting of your sin and turning by faith through grace in Jesus Christ alone. Maybe you're here this evening and say, Preacher, I'm just not saved. I honestly don't know what would happen to me if I were to die today. I need salvation. Would you pray for me? Now, I won't embarrass you, but I promise to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. I need Jesus as my Savior. I want, when I die, whenever that be, I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me tonight, Preacher, that I would go to heaven, that I would trust in Jesus? Anybody like that tonight? I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. I'm not saved, but I'm not anybody need to be saved. Christian, how about you? Say, Preacher, in my home, my work, with your friends, it may be difficult to be that person of character. Maybe you're a Joseph in the midst of Egypt. A Moses in the midst of Egypt. You're a Daniel in the midst of Babylon. You're in a place, a workplace. You're in an environment. You're in a family where it's not easy to do right. In fact, to do right, when you do right, you're going to be laughed at. You'll be persecuted. Called names. Oh, I'm sure people looked at Joshua and thought, how in the world? How can he do anything? But he did, not in his strength, but in God's strength. Maybe tonight you say, Preacher, I need to continue living for Jesus. I want to stay faithful to God. I want to do right by God. Even though sometimes it's hard, I want to continue down the path of righteousness. I want God to work in and through my life. I want to continue to be obedient to God. I want God's blessing in my life. His blessing in my life is the most important thing in the world. I need his blessing. I must have his blessing. If that's your prayer tonight, could I see your hand? Oh, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I need his blessing. I want to be obedient. I want to do right. I want to continue down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's stand to our feet tonight as the music plays. The altar is open tonight. Need God's help? Would you come to him and say, Lord, I need you tonight. I come to you tonight empty, broken. I can't do this. The Christian life is not something you can do on your own. It's only through Christ. Would you ask him for his help tonight? Would you ask him for his grace tonight, his strength, his blessing tonight? The altar's open tonight. Would you come? Would you come asking for his help and for his favor tonight? Continue living obedient to God. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to use you. Oh, dear friend, allow him to do great things in and through your life. Gracious Father, we just thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, how true it is. Thank you, God, that you used Joshua in such a mighty way to fulfill your will. And how much you want to use us if we simply humble ourselves. Oh, it's not always going to be easy. The armor of the flesh is our enemy. The world is our enemy. The adversary, the devil, is our enemy. Oh, God, help us to be victorious, have victory in Jesus. Oh, God, help us through trials and tribulations, Lord, to continue down the path in faith by your grace. And God, if we stumble, by the grace of God, help us to get back up, ask forgiveness, and continue on. Oh, God, help us to be the lights in our home, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. Lord, the world is looking for light. There's so much darkness in this world. Oh, how we need some Christians, some born-again folks, to be men and women of integrity, to do right no matter what the cost, to love you with all their heart, soul, and mind. Go with us today and help us to be a blessing and a light. We thank you for all that you've done in and through us. Continue to do so until you take us home in the rapture.